today on Real Radio.
Just believe in Jesus. What does that mean? No. Listen, the belief that God accepts is the belief that takes you to faith. It doesn't stay in the realm of belief. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Yes. Belief does nothing. It's like a car that drives you to the location. It's just the medium. It's a delivery system. Belief brings you to faith. Faith is where things happen.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 2, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church, but still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. As we head further into chapter 2, Peter reminds us again and again that we're all responsible for our own actions. The false ministries we encounter promise liberty, but in the end, they've got only their own interests in mind. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are those who claim to be prophets and teachers from God and will deceive many. Only the true believer will see right through their disguise and not be moved by their claims of spiritual knowledge and power. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, man has a God-given sovereignty. Notice, they forsook the way of God. Some of you who battle with insecurity and doubts about, will God accept you and love you? Will you make it to the end? I want Jesus, but does he want me? Listen, if you have those passions in your heart, cheer up, you're a child of God. You will not leave. You can't leave. Even if you wander, he's going to draw you back. Amen. These not only forsook, but they went after their own plan. We'll see this develop in a moment. And what I mean regarding this is the fact that the Bible is very consistent when it tells us that every human being is responsible for their actions. I know what I'm saying right now is not taught in this day and age. You know, there's certain things not taught, I guess many things. One of them is absolutes, which is insane. Think about it. You go to college today and, oh, you know, everything's relative. There are no absolutes, which is such a, this is for a service, right? Any little kids in here? Okay. It's such a stupid statement. Well, Pastor, in my philosophical experience, I've grown to the place to know that there's no absolute statements. There's no absolute fact. Have you ever heard somebody say that? When I hear that said, I see a bald head, listen, a bald head with a big red nose and orange hair sticking out on the side with big blue shoes. That's called bozo. It's bozo. The statement you just made is an absolute statement. The absolute statement is there are no absolutes. You can't make that statement because it's not true. There's absolutes in science. There's absolutes in nature, which is a visual exposure of science. And we know this. These have been deceived because they forsook. It's laid upon them. They walked away. Be careful, church. Listen. There are those among us. I don't mean that literally, so don't look at each other and suspect. But collectively speaking, that they will forsake the right way. John chapter 3. Now watch how this develops. You know it well. John 3:15. Let's start there. John 3:15. The Bible says, whoever believes, whoever. Oh, by the way, that's the answer, by the way, to Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Yellow Lives Matter, Green Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter. Give me a color. Am I missing one? Purple Lives Matter. Whatever color you associate with matters to God. How do you know? How dare you say that? Don't worry, cool your jets. Jesus said it. John 3:15. Whoever. There is no color when it comes to whoever. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? Verse 16, for God so loved the world. What color is the world? Every color. That he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for listen to this. For God did not send his son into the world. What color is the world? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The word in Greek means you were born and raised and you breathe air right now, condemned, if you're not trusting Christ. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. By the way, the word love there is agape. They agape. They love perfectly sin. They love the darkness because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. That's an amazing statement because every Christian that is true wants their deeds to be exposed. Did you know that? You say, what? I don't know, not me. Well, I don't mean let's shine your sins up on the wall here with a scan cam and there you are. Oh, there you are. No, it means that you go before God and you say, Lord, search my heart. Do you not? As a Christian, isn't that what you're saying? I pray this all the time because I know my wicked heart. He said, well, what do you want to confess? Nothing. It's just that I know that the Bible says all of our hearts are wicked and we can't even know our heart. So now what I need to confess is, God, what's my motive? I could walk the little old lady from Pasadena across the street and have the wrong motive. I could give a homeless man my house, and it's disgusting before God because I have the wrong motive. In the same token, we've got to yield and give up our motive to God and stop questioning, because many, many Christians who God wants to use dramatically in this world won't even get out of their chair for fear of having the wrong motive. Get up and go and keep that fear ever before your eyes. Do you hear me? Get up and serve the Lord and know this. You'll always be praying, God, may my motive be right before you. Verse 21, John 3. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God or before the presence of God. This word believe here, by the way, the whoever this is who believes, it's a strong word, pisteo in the Greek, and it means to be brought, listen, from belief to faith. This is a great, great argument. You will not be deceived if your belief has been developed to faith. If you believe, and I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, listen. If you believe that you believe, you're probably lost and on your way to hell. If you believe that you believe, I believe. That's like somebody coming up and saying, have faith. Okay, fine, I'm all about faith. In faith, where do I put it? You guys, faith's a verb. Where are you gonna put it? Have faith. Listen, you're giving birth to a baby, but you haven't cut the cord off. The kid's stuck. Just believe. We've all seen that stuff before. Just believe in Jesus. What does that mean? No. Listen, the belief that God accepts is the belief that takes you to faith. It doesn't stay in the realm of belief. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Yes. Belief does nothing. It's like a car that drives you to the location. It's just the medium. It's a delivery system. Belief brings you to faith. Faith is where things happen. Faith is where things take off. There's a lot of professing believers and Christian workers and pastors and evangelists that believe, but they don't have faith. And in due time, that will be revealed. Here, the Bible's warning us that we don't want to be like these people. John chapter 6, verse 28. I'm sorry, I'm yelling. Are you guys okay? I know it's early, and I've been up forever already, so I feel like it's lunchtime, so here I am. Maybe you're just waking up and I'm being so rude and yelling at you so early.
Next Sunday, I'll come out of my jammies and we'll have little violins playing. John 6:28, then they said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Great question. Wonderful question. And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." Don't you want to know what that is, everybody? Yes. Say, yes. "That you believe in him whom God has sent." That is God the Father. Amen. That word here, belief, right there in John 6:29, is to bring full rest upon. It means faith. It's faith. True faith in Christ will not be led astray. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. We studied this months ago. 2 Peter 2, 1. "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Verse 3, "By covetousness," that's always in there, "they will exploit you." They'll pimp you. They will prostitute you. "By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle." That's a terrifying word. It shows a picture of like a train coming with judgment on the back. It's on its way. Judgment's on its way. "And their destruction does not slumber." What a remarkable statement. Look at verse 15 continues and uses the word forsaken. They have forsaken the right way. The structure of this is extremely powerful. Listen, the statement means that they knew the truth. They could recite the truth. They taught the truth. This is what it implies. But they began to loosen their grip on the truth. How many times have you seen someone accept Christ, they believe, but they never moved on into faith? They never took hold of the promises. Are you sick today? Have you been given a terminal notice today? Have you been terminated today? All these things. Are you a Christian today? And these letters and these notes have come to you from the doctor or from the company. Listen, this you must know at the top. I'm not asking you to feel it. Know this, that my life belongs to him. I'm his and he is mine. Jesus told me that I'm his child. When you put that at the top of everything, it works. He works. To not do that, listen, in times of testing, trial, and difficulty, Jesus warns us with the sower that went out to sow the seed, we begin to lose the grip. Maybe we would say it this way. Were you closer to Jesus this time last year? Do you remember a time, if you can remember a time, that God was using you and now he's not? You're losing your grip. You say, "Jack, I thought it's not what I do that saves me, it's what I believe." True. When you believe properly, it will be faith. And faith in Christ is action. And so you want to be careful at a time like this. These are dark days. These are deceiving days. And I hate to bum you out, but it's going to get worse. Read the Bible. But don't worry. Hang on to him. Don't lose your grip. The truth slipped right through their hands. How do we know? Because the word implies having forsaken the right way. It implies that they had a declining strength spiritually. They slowed down spiritually. We need to write this down. We need to remember this moment. Are you declining spiritually? Are you on the backside of the curve spiritually? Are you slowing down spiritually? Are you weakening spiritually? One author translates the word in the Greek to mean you are now in the state of a series of surrenders in your life. You surrendered prayer. You surrendered witnessing. You don't pray much anymore. You don't witness anymore. You're not tithing. You're not serving. You're not doing these. What happened? Wow. Watch out. Watch out. Don't lose your grip. And they have forsaken the right way. See the word, those two words, right way? It's the path. They've wandered off the path. See, Pastor Jack, I don't want to end up like these kind of people. Nor do I. Write this down. We need this. Hebrews 4. Book of Hebrews is amazing because, first of all, many of you have a very liturgical background. In other words, maybe many of you are Lutherans. I know many of you are Catholics. I know that you come here and you go to St. Paul's or you go to St. Margaret's because I know you and you tell me. And that's awesome. I mean, part of it's awesome. You come here and you get the Bible, but then you go over there. But that's okay because, you know, it's inevitable. What happens is your soul winds up being fed by the Word of God. And it's not that here is the place, but this is a place where the Word is taught. It's the Word. So that when you go back to your tradition, you're wondering, what am I here for? I don't even understand this anymore. Why? Because your soul's waking up and your soul eats. And your soul eats the Bible. And after a while, a lot of people are anemic because their soul has only been feeding on tradition. And so they're bony, skinny, you know, anemic. They believe in Jesus. They love the Lord, but they're like so weak. And then they hear the Bible and it's like a train of truth hits them in the face. And they're like, run me over again. Give me more of that. So listen, Hebrews 4:1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, don't mess around, be serious, lest any of you seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Two people hear the same sermon, same time, same night. Watch what happens. One loses out because, look, it's not mixed with, what's the word? Faith in those who heard it. That's important. You need to determine which one you are. And then here you go. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Listen, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who once were enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have, key word here, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come. They've seen God work. They felt the moment. They knew, wow, this is fantastic. They discern all that. They sense all that. Verse 6, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. You say, how come? They themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. You say, what on earth does that mean? Does that mean I can lose my salvation? Those of you who are Bible students, you know that this verse is used by many people, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, as a verse that says you can lose your salvation. It actually says the opposite. The ones that are in jeopardy of being castaways are those who tasted of the heavenly gift. They came and experienced God moving, but it was never mixed with faith. It was never rooted and grounded in them. And they were spectators, God help us, that they were spectators to spiritual activity. They acquiesced to it. They said, that's good. I approve of that. That's a good way to live. Excellent principles. And yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. They say it, but they don't live it. Because what this verse and that the whole book of Hebrews tells us is that they come near to Jesus for a season, we do not know how long, but they go back to the old system of works. If you keep reading the book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it's very Pauline in the structure. And he was a Jew speaking to Jews. It makes a lot of sense. He's saying, listen, you come out of Judaism in works and sacrificing an animal, and you accept God, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. If you want to go back to that system, just know this. There's no place for you to come back to because Christ is all that there is. Listen, if you reject Jesus and you shut the door and you're done with it and you go back to the old works system And then when you find out that that doesn't work, here's what's implied. The work system doesn't work, and I've already tried Jesus. He doesn't work. I guess I'm going to form my own belief system. And that's where you get the foundation of every man doing what is right in his own eyes. This is not about people who had salvation and lost it. It's about people who believe but never went to faith. And that reality is not exempt from the pulpit and from preachers and from evangelists and ministries. Watch out. Be careful. You say, what do I do about it? Mark this down. Fortify. Say, Jack, what do I do about these things? I don't want to be like these people. Good. Fortify yourself. Build borders. To fortify is to shore up and to build borders around yourself against apostasy. Apostasy is departing from the faith. That's what false teachers would want you to do. Luke 18:7 says, shall God not avenge? That's the word is execute justice. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, what does it say? Will he really find faith on the earth? He warns about a decreasing faith. But you see, Jack, I want to fortify myself. I don't want to be like them. I want to be a true believer. Okay, get ready. I'm going to give you five things. Five things. Number one, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 8. This is number one out of five. And I'll read it to you. You can just look at the references later. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. This is awesome. The sufficiency of God's word. And godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, that's the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, God's promises, the Bible, is what's going to be your source of power to live life. And by the way, I'll add this, you won't be led astray. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, here we go, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, hang in there, keep fighting. Oh Christian, don't give up at this time. Don't turn back. Do what's right, not what's convenient. Do what's true and steadfast.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Quick question for you. Have you ever been passionate about pursuing a dream? And what if you were surrounded by people who feel equally as passionate about that same dream as you do? How far would you go with it, and to what end? Our founding fathers had a vision to make America a city on a hill, a beacon of faith shining for all the world to see. And their mission? To exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God who gave it. July's book of the month is called Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg, a fascinating history of the New World taking you from 1607 to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Forged in Faith, it's a dramatic, action-driven narrative that's not just about a story from long ago, it's our story. Pastor Jack is sure you'll be blessed when you order your own copy of Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.